Helping Hands Press, narration by George and author Tony Hilling, present The Voice of Ada Stayman, Volume 1, The Child's Arrival. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? About evil or suffering? Tony Hilling brings us an epic biblical fantasy called The Voice of Ada Stayman. Meet the chosen people who endure much evil and suffering. But there's more. Their God has a mind to save them. Seven arcs later, while much of the city of Deverinspe continued to revel in the 10-arc celebration at the palace for the birth of the king's son, two women were seen drawing near the temple of Verin in the quiet of the late evening. The sole guard at the temple was earning some extra silver, discharging his duty as the late guard of a virtually deserted temple and almost dying of boredom in the process. He was suddenly jolted from his vacant reverie by the approach of the two women. One was tall, of stately bearing, the royal purple veil partially revealing strands of her flaxen hair. The other was a dark and plainly dressed Ma'apon woman, clearly the first woman's servant. The guard snapped to attention, bringing his 5-4-arm halberd to his chest to permit entry to the temple. He risked a quick glance and recognized the king's young niece. Both women entered the temple, the Lady Kara ignoring him, her servant looking away from him anxiously. Once inside and beyond the reach of the guard's eyes and ears, the servant held out a restraining hand to her mistress.
"My lady, I am so sick with fear. To enter this place is worse than passing through the gates of death, and someone is certain to notice us."
Kara turned to her. "Do not worry, Mevedine," she whispered. "I have planned it this way. Because of the feasting, there are few people about. But Alameda will be here, because it is not yet widely known that she is the mother of the royal child.
But what about the guard?"
"I will deal with him. But listen to me. This will be difficult for you. You must steel yourself. Alameda will not be easily persuaded to release your son. You may see blood tonight. Focus on your son, and remember that whatever happens, it is necessary to get him back."
Medvedine nodded, fearful. They proceeded to the inner temple and climbed the stairs that led behind the high altar of Varun, the god of the Davarang people. As she mounted the stairs beside her mistress, Medvedine looked to her right and saw with horror the pyramid of 10 rising steps leading to the platform behind the huge bowl-shaped altar of sacrifice that had consumed so many of her people's infants. And behind the altar and overarching was the massive idol of Verin, a dragon's face, bearing a fierce demoniacal grin. She also noticed about 4 forearms above the altar a large metal funnel connected to a wide flue that led ever upwards, directing the sacrificial vapors into the heavens. Despite this, the stench of the heat and stale, burnt human flesh was nauseating. When they approached the anteroom behind the high altar, she saw her mistress pull something out of her tunic and cover it with her outer robe on her right hand. With her left hand, she knocked on the door, then reached out and took a piece of parchment from Medvedine. A Ma'apon woman answered, looking respectfully but slyly at Kara, and seemed to look right through Medvedine.
"I wish a private conference with Lady Alameda. I will see if she can attend on you, my lady,"
said Jadine.
"Lady Alameda will see you now."
Kara swallowed, raising her left hand to Mevedine, signaling her to stay, and went inside the anteroom. In spite of her youthful courage, Kara quaked slightly as she looked at Alameda, the legendary high priestess of the Temple of Verin. Kara knew that the royal family even feared this former temple prostitute, now sorceress and black witch. She was the sole ruler of the temple and had subtle but strong influence in the royal courts. Kara had also heard the rumor that she was consorting with the king himself.
"Why, my lady, it has been some time since I have seen you come to Varen's chambers," said Alameda, a cold, mirthless smile playing at her lips.
"I no longer worship your god, Lady Alameda," said Kara simply. "Have we gone over to the god of the defeated, of the chosen ones, or is it the conquered ones?" She chuckled nastily, then turned her full glare on the young woman who stood before her. "How can we help you?" Kara met those dead gray eyes with a blank stare of her own. "I would speak with you alone," she said. The High Priestess paused an instant, and then made a side movement of her head to Jadeen.
"My lady?"
"Go!" said Alameda emphatically. Her attendant left and returned to her room.
"Now, my lady,"
said Alameda, the smile gone. Kara began, "You have seized a boy child for sacrifice tomorrow. He has the name Banawan tattooed on his heel."
"Yes,"
said the High Priestess. Kara knew she was expecting more. "I will buy him back. What is your price?"
"But, my lady, the king's edict was quite specific. All male children born to the Ma'apon slaves in the last 10 arcs are to be sacrificed to our god in celebration for the birth of the king's son. I cannot accede to your request without further order."
The Voice of Ada Stamen by Tony Hilling. Reviewers say, "We have murder, conspiracy, bribery, deceit, abuse of power. We have one race dominating the other and treating them as slaves. All this packed into a 33-page short introductory volume, and it really does set the atmosphere very well. Hilling has one great imagination. He also writes well. It's available from Helping Hands Press and narration by George. Your narrator is George Taylor for Tony Hilling's The Voice of Ada Stamen.